One thing that we commemorated at the Seder was the fact that God's people went through the Red Sea and they entered into the Promised Land through the crossing of the Jordan. In our account this morning, it will speak to us of Ezekiel going into the waters. And of course, we know that before Yeshua begins his ministry, he is baptized in the waters of the Jordan. And in looking over the scripture, it struck me that being at the water's edge signals a new beginning, and also that water speaks to us of cleansing. Because as Rini mentioned, you can get, she said, your feathers can just get grody and you need a cleansing. And there might be all sorts of expensive, just fragrances and perfumes, but nothing cleanses like water. And so this morning's message is, do we remain in the shallows or do we enter the depth? And it really is a question that's posed to the people of God, to congregations, to church families, and really the smallest unit of cohesion is the family. Because there are voices that are within and voices without to remain in the safety of the harbor. But the thing is just like the Hebrew people of old, they didn't want to be deported. They didn't want to be brought into Babylonia. And Ezekiel is one of the early arrivals, one of 10,000 that arrived captive, he and Daniel. And I want to just give you just, not a history lesson, but just to provide a setting. He's been a priest, and while he no longer can minister in the temple, he remains loyal to the Lord God. And in his fifth year of captivity, God calls him, commissions him to be a prophet. And his message to his countrymen in Babylonia, and he's hoping that his messages will get back to Jerusalem, is that Jerusalem has suffered ominous blows. And there's been two deportations of Jewish people. And he's hitting hard on the sins of the people. And his message is we need to amend our ways or perish. And the thing of it is sin is serious. It's serious. It is something that takes people's lives down. We all know that. But the thing of it is, we still need to be reminded of it. We still need to be reminded that Yeshua's blood was spilt in order to secure atonement and forgiveness for us. And the one thing for myself as being a believer now for over 40 years, I never forget where I came from. I never forget. And every now and then I'll have a dream, and I had one that was just so real to me that there were police outside of my house and I was scared because I was holding in the possession of drugs in that dream. And I woke up that morning and I said, man, I'm so grateful that that's no longer an issue for me. Having to always just live with just looking over my shoulder. That whom the sun sets free, he's free indeed. Amen. And so his message is to mend your ways or perish. His people back home are steeped in the idea that the city, Jerusalem, won't be overthrown. After all, the temple is here. And that same mood of being obstinate just rests in among some of the exiles there in Babylonia. And Ezekiel is laboring among them. And that same belief that their exile will be short because God would not allow the city to be sacked. When the news arrives that the city is overthrown, There's no attitude on the part of Ezekiel. See, I told you so. But his message becomes one of comfort and hope. And what he does is he applies his vision that God begins giving him. Because the best sermons, if you will, are ones that are simple. And he takes something, because not everybody could read. And so what he does is he takes the symbols he's familiar with and he speaks on them. Because sometimes a story, a symbol, can resonate in a person's heart and stay with him or her. And so what he just says is, again, the conditions can get no worse. Now, we as God's people can build on the ruins. Plight stresses, we sang, that we want to sing through the strife and stress, praise to you. And when it comes to plight, when it comes to stresses and strains, they come free of charge. Nobody is spared. Some troubles are self-created. You've got sometimes people that'll reach out for grief and bring it, clutch it to their breast. But others, they can be perceived as a misfortune that happens to someone. But in my reading, my understanding of Scripture is when we take the King's shilling, when we bow the knee to the Lordship of Yeshua, we're under His dominion and under His protection. From that point on, whatever comes into our lives, He allows it or He sends it. I've said before, I lost my wife. She was a beautiful woman. She's a nurse. And a good mother, a good wife, really the best. People that knew her just loved her. And my youngest is special needs. Had to raise him alone. And the thing of it is, it can just seem like it's a disaster. But with the passage of time, what happens is God Almighty gives us grace and the enablement to be able to live with things that are very difficult. And in some ways, you may feel like you walk with a limp. But God uses broken people. And I can just tell you, it was a very difficult time in my life. Very difficult. But the thing of it is God Almighty still, He uses broken people. And as Rena used that image of just being stripped, but He hides us in a cleft of the rock, and we continue looking to Him until He can clothe us again with a fresh set of feathers, fresh talons, and we go on, changed. Not the same, but changed. Listen, people carry burdens. People live with quiet miseries. We know that. Because there's heavy responsibilities at work. Men and women, you have the burdens of work, family. And sometimes it can prove too much. Mothers never stop being mothers. And you love your children. And sometimes when dad isn't real active in there, you can figure, hey, I need support. Students sometimes with the burdens of trying to keep their faith, and they can feel at times shriveled up inside. And so we all know there are moments that are dark and difficult. That doesn't mean we're out of touch, doesn't mean it's black or white. It just means there are dark and difficult moments. We just need to read the Psalms to understand that. And in Ezekiel receives this vision, and it speaks to us of this temple that's going to be seen in this millennial age. It'll find fulfillment in the millennial age. And yet, in this chapter, we can find resources to press on despite stresses and strains that come with living. You get older, as we just know, there are difficulties that just come our way, right? Nobody spared it. Just figure in our minds mentally that we can view ourselves just to be 30s, 40s. Some of you that are 30s and 40s, you can figure you look at yourself as just being in your late teens. But the idea is God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. And so we look at ourselves maybe mentally if we're older in our 40s. But the fact is the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. These bodies, they take strange difficulties. But the idea is, again, is there's resources in the Word of God. And like Ezekiel, we're called to just recognize our insufficiencies. That's what we're called to do. To accept the challenge and really open our lives to receive everything that Yeshua has for us. God has given us the adequate equipment to whatever we have to face. And whatever task He calls us to, whether we're single, married, widowed, divorced, still entering into life with its blessings and its difficulties, we look at the resources that we lack, and then, God, please make this available to me. There's 70 times it's mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. They shall know that I am Jehovah. In Ezekiel, what we just read, and I thank you for that beautiful reading of it, is there's word pictures, and they communicate powerfully, and people know the value of water. And as I was just reading this, I thought, you know, at the Seder, we're looking at the Red Sea, and at the water's edge, it signaled a new start. When they cross over the Jordan, the waters have swelled up. But what happens when they step in? The waters are parted, and it signals a fresh start. When Yeshua is going to begin His ministry, it's at the Jordan, at the river's edge. And when He steps into the waters, it begins a new moment in the Lord. Rain is scarce. And the one thing about that part of the world is it can go up to 130 degrees. 130 degrees. When my son was in the Marine Corps, he was assigned to the air wing. Later, he was a captain in the Marine Expeditionary Unit. And what those Marines do, they're aboard vessels. And what they'll do is they'll fly them in that Marine Expeditionary Unit, and they're flown in to parts that they're fighting places we don't even know. But they're dropped off there for a week, 2 weeks. They finish up their mission. They're brought out. My son wasn't high enough that he could stand from a distance to be able to see things. No. But the idea is this. It's 130 degrees in that part of the world. And so the ground can become really like concrete. But the Bible speaks to us, as we just read, out of His heart will flow rivers of living water. Isaiah 12, the wells of salvation, the streams in the desert. And Yeshua uses that image to us. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. And so Ezekiel discovers these promises, and they're linked to our longing, that angelic being that serves as his guide, brings him to the door of the temple. And there's a stream that's flowing below that threshold of the temple. And its source is coming from the temple where there's the mercy seat, the throne of God. And we think that's where Yeshua is raised. The God-man. And I think of that, and I've thought about it sometimes, and I haven't given it a lot of study, but it's something for us to remember, that when Yeshua ascends, He's in human form, sitting at the right hand of the Almighty, and understanding what the needs are of His people. And those waters come down from under the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar, by the way of that place of sacrifice where there's atonement. And that stream only comes by way of the cross. And until Yeshua is glorified, the Spirit isn't given. But the thing of it is you look at that stream, and a stream's different from a river. And you can look at it and just think, well, it's inconsequential, because the sun can come up and dry up a stream. But the thing of it is as the angel continues to guide him, that stream becomes a river. It becomes a river. And sometimes in our own just inability, when we go through stresses and strains, the only thing you can do is pray. And we don't realize the mighty resources that are there, because we're apt to think that the work of the Holy Spirit, His greatest work, is giving us new birth, when it really is the least of the things that He does. That the power of God Almighty in the universe resides in that beautiful Holy Spirit. And there's so much to the Lord that we can view, like Ezekiel of old, a stream. But there's so much force and power and depth to that stream, because the longer we step, or the more we step into it, the deeper it becomes, and there's a river that's there. But the force that's coming, it comes from the sanctuary. In verses 3 through 6, you notice he uses the word, he brought me, he led me. And so the question comes up is, do we stand on the shore in the shallows? Because that's ankle deep. And if we're only in a small amount of water, we can just think, well, it's inconsequential. Sun comes up, it'll dry it up. And you see, is when we're spiritually infants, we only understand so much. But we don't want to remain nominal. We want to continue to grow. And so as he was led, as he's brought up, the thing that happens is his knees are immersed. Because when the knees are captured, then we begin to pray. There's stresses, there's strifes. I listened to a man that our people are watching right now, and it's instruction on the person of the Holy Spirit. And the man just gave a brilliant just example. And he says, you know, I get together and we go out to golf. But the one thing that I really enjoy, apart from being outside, is being able to talk with the people that I'm with. He says, if I'm on business, I get picked up. I would never think of just to be silent if I'm in the car with this person. He says, there's been instances when I've been picked up by somebody, and they didn't really want to communicate, and I wonder, well, why are you bringing me in here? And he says, and we can use that example, that when we're wherever we are, when we're in the car, we're talking to the Lord. Wherever we are, when we're with Him, we're talking with Him. With my spouse, I always want to be speaking to her. I miss when we're not together. If he's out of town, he's on the phone with her to touch base. I thought, what a good little example right there. Always talking to the Lord. Because those minutes that I spend with Yeshua in the morning is an antiseptic for the rest of the day. The conversation begins. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life. Thank you for Saturday's bright, blessed morning. Thank you for your blessings. I join with my sons in giving you praise, with the children, with the grandchildren. We thank you. We bless your name. The conversation starts. You follow me? And it continues on through the day. There are stresses and strains. The ticket. The bout with anxiety, traffic, the threat of the layoff, all of this is part of our lives. But the thing it is, as we heard at the Seder, it's the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts. And so when we sat at the Seder thinking, the veil is rent. And so the idea is, go for it. We have stresses and strains, but we know that the equipment we've been given is adequate. What he's calling us to is to come to him. Come to him. Come to him. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We stand ankle deep. But by what right do we draw near when he captures those knees, that spirit of prayer? The redemption is complete. As we sat at that Seder, I'm thinking, the atonement, it's complete. By what right do we come? The redemption is complete on the platform of the redemption. There's nothing we can add to it. There's nothing we can take away from it. We have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua. No other way. Not our earnestness, not our need. Oh God, I've done my best. Please hear me. No, solely by the holy, to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua. No, nothing else. It isn't our time of prayer that entitles us. No, it's simply on the basis of Yeshua. And so we launch out on the reckless belief, on a reckless belief, Oswald Chambers says, that the redemption is complete, then bother no more about self. Because you see, when we keep looking inside and looking inside, I tell our congregation, belly button studying. All that does is produce a self-centered, morbid type of faith that isn't what we've been called to do. Let me say it again. When we're simply just looking inside, grubbing inside, am I what I ought to be? All that does is produce within us a self-centered, morbid type of faith, and that's not why Yeshua shed his precious blood for us, the life of the Son of God. No, I got a reckless belief. The redemption is complete, and I'm not bothering no more about self. No, I know what I am. I'm a sinner. And I know without him, what does God expect of us? We can just say it. Failure. But we need his power. We need his strength day by day. For Yeshua has said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. It takes a long time for us to come to believe that. It's a little one-liner, but it's so. And so the water comes to our waist, or as it reads, our loins. And that's an image of power. I want to ask you if you turn with me to Hebrews 7. And what a powerful verse we have here. Hebrews 7. And it reads, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. When we pray, then the one who, and we pray in the name of Yeshua, and the one who answers those prayers is the God-man. That when he lived on this earth, he was dependent on God. He relied on his Father. He limited himself. And now he is omnipotent, omniscient. And he's the one who answers those prayers. Custom-made answers to prayers because he understands what we need. As we say in the Spanish language, a la medida, right to the exact proportion. God has given this power to his Son. And so we pray, not because we're helpless, but because he is almighty. That's why we pray. And he's able to save to the uttermost. And that stream becomes a river in verse 5. And Ezekiel discovers that through that river, he can't pass through. He begins to swim. And waters are so refreshing. And as we see, is that that water is the only source that can really cleanse. When you have our military that overseas, they'll have wipes. And they'll wipe their faces and wipe their skins. But I'll tell you what, to the man or to the woman, it doesn't replace the cleansing of a shower. To the man or to the woman. and he swims because the waters are beyond his height. So at first it's a stream. You look at that stream, and we can just figure it can dry up at any given time. But as he's led, as he's brought through, he discovers that that stream is really a river. And that river becomes so powerful that what it does, it goes into what, the Dead Sea, and it goes into the Mediterranean. And where there's death, it just brings life. It brings life. Think, man, that's going to be glorious when we, and we'll get to see it one day, but it's glorious now. Because that river of life, it's there. Stresses and strife, they come free of charge. They just do. They come our way. But the thing of it is just realizing where we're insufficient and confessing. He already knows it. It's just us recognizing it. Father, I need your power, your strength in this area of life. I read that Judge Damon Keith never enters into the chambers without his reading scripture each morning. What is he, in his 90s now? He's been so honored. It's a federal judge, JFK, Kennedy appointed him. He never enters those chambers because he probably never forgets. One day, even judges are going to give an account. And so because of that, we never forget. We have a judge that just lives a few houses away from us. Gets up, Pastor, how are you? Judge, how are you this morning? Good, good. How are you, Pastor? Always address ourselves by our titles. I can call him by a first name, but that's who he is. God, please guide that man. And please help me, because one day we'll answer for those people who are in our purview, and in my case, in my care. When we swim, what's noticeable is the head. The rest of the body can't be seen, only the head. And the head of each of us is the Lord. And when we're self-immersed, what we want is for people to see Yeshua in and through us. That we're the frame, but the picture, when we go into the Detroit Institute of Arts, the DIA, what we see is we see the beautiful picture. The frame complements it, but the action is the work of the artist. And so with us, we want to represent him to others. He's then led, in closing, to the banks, which were bare, and now there's trees. Wherever the river flows, it brings fertility. As the water flows, it invites growth. The trees, what do? They bring fruit. Each season, each month, a new fruit, and its leaves are medicinal. That river is transformational. Fancy way of just saying it can change our lives. And all I can tell you is, having been a follower of Yeshua for 47 years, the gospel still cuts the mustard. It can still transform a man or woman. And the thing of it is, his spirit moves in proportion to our surrender to him. As long as we can just say, Uncle, I'll turn my life over to you. It was one believer in the past who said, if you want to clean out a dunghill, then turn the river into it. And he called it the River Elba. You want to clean out the dunghill, then turn the River Elba into it. And so, in closing, remember, at that river's edge, what it signaled is it signaled a new beginning. At the Red Sea, at the Jordan, when Yeshua, our Lord, begins his ministry, nothing happens until we come to that river's edge and you go into the waters. And so the Red Sea, the Jordan, it speaks to us of a beginning and of cleansing. And the idea is those waters are there for us to cleanse us, because it's just, as it said, again, another image of water, our righteousness, it's like the morning dew. I can get up with the best of intentions, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. My righteousness is just drying up, man. I need him each and every day. And so go for it. The veil is rent. We come to him solely on the platform of the redemption. On not our earnestness, not on the fact that we're in need, not on the fact of our prayer. There's only one platform that enables us to become that royal priesthood, and that's the blood of the Lamb that we sang about, and its power of atonement, its power that satisfies God Almighty. And so with the stress of these cataclysmic events that for Ezekiel witnessed, God was still just saying, I'm still on the throne. If he isn't, we're all in trouble. But he is. And so with stresses and strains, I'm just one man, Lord. What can I do? Ezekiel thought. And yet, millenniums later, his witness still continues. That's it, man. The veil is rent. Go for it. Keep coming. That type of just thinking that I got to keep looking inside. Am I what I ought to be? I'm just telling you, as somebody who's been at this for 47 years, all that does is turn us into people that are self-centered and morbid. No, my sins are taken care of. Nobody has to tell me. I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of doing. That's why I stay close to the cross. And in doing so, it keeps us modest. It keeps me centered. It just keeps me just empty, an empty vessel. And if we're empty, he can fill us. He can fill us. He can fill us. Our gracious Father, we come to you on this Sabbath morning, grateful, grateful, Lord. As we celebrate in the Seder, that because of that lamb that Brother Harold spoke to us, I will pass over you. And what was true then remains true today. They became the people of God, and because of that lamb, they were passed over and became a mighty, mighty people whose blessing still comes to us through the Jewish people who represent Yeshua to us. Oh God, we thank you, Father, and help us to take advantage of these resources that are ours. Despite stresses, strains, plights, help them to only turn us to you, Lord, and find your strength. And we ask all of these mercies in his blessed name. Amen. Good, good.